Thank God this is my last lesson. We talk about the two time period, yeah? From the book of Psalms 107, verse 33 to verse 38, and Isaiah chapter 32. Okay. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 12 onwards to verse 15. Now, we know that here it talks about how these rivers turn into wilderness or a city and was turned into a place of ruin. Right? Now, obviously the reason given is because of the wickedness of those who dwell in it, okay? As we can see in 107, because of sin. Now, for that to be restored back to its former glory, yeah, requires the Spirit. So only the Spirit can or could bring about, you know, such a transformation, right? And we can see this in chapter 32 verse 15. So the key verse is in chapter 32 verse 15 of Isaiah, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, right? So without the Spirit, then this transformation can never happen, right? Okay. Now, turn to Joel, yeah? Joel, chapter 2, verse 23. Joel, chapter 2, verse 23. Be glad then, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, and he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Now, I think, again, this is one of the verses that we always use to back up the idea of early rain and the latter rain. Yeah? Now, I have got a problem here for you to think about. Right? Now, it seems that formal rain is mentioned two times, yeah? Twice. Okay, if you read it very carefully, it seems that the first one has already been given. Yeah, and the second one will be given in the future, and after that, it comes what, the latter rain. Okay, now so my question is, if you want to make sense of this verse, what is your reading of the two formal rains? What does it mean? Why is it mentioned twice? Because we know that there are only two periods of rain. Huh? So it means there are three times? Huh? There's not two times.
But the same rain is going to be given to you, not a different rain.
But here it says, has been given faithfully already, is it not? But the first one, it says, for he has given you the former rain faithfully, has been given. And then he will cause the rain to come down again in two periods of times. So it seems that our explanation is not very accurate after all. Okay. Was us, what do you mean?
Like
believers. But what about the believers in the time of the apostle? Were they not included? Sorry? Ancient time, you mean pre-apostolic time? Is that what you're saying? You are guessing. I'm also guessing. What do you mean by my question again? Selena, excuse me. Let me speak to you directly. Verse 23. Look at the first part, yeah? And where is the first part? Okay. For he has given you the former rain, yeah? Faithfully. It's the first mention of former rain, and the second time is in the middle part. And he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain. Now my question is, it seems that former rain has been given already. It's like there is a repetition. So how can we make sense of our reading here? Why two formal rains? That's my question. Something to do with the dash. You mean it's the linguistics? What does that dash mean? Oh, well done. No, it's not correct. Okay, for those who are using NKJV, can you see the footnotes given? The first formal rain refers to what? Teacher of righteousness. Okay, now I think obviously the Spirit is also called the what? Teacher of righteousness. Don't tell it. Now when we talk about the coming of the Spirit, yeah, we always what? Link it to Jesus, okay? Jesus, because Jesus came to establish the church, and before his ascension, he promised that the Spirit would come. So the teacher of righteousness has come first. Jesus himself has come. You understand what I'm saying? And then it comes the rain, two period. Does it make sense? Yeah? I want to talk about the dash now. What dash? You get what I'm saying? Right? So, because it's like, according to the gospel, the Spirit came from Jesus. Isn't it? So you have to ask in the name of Jesus, then the Spirit shall be given to us. Right? So, Jesus is the, what? Teacher of righteousness. It's like he came to paved the way for us first, to tell us about the coming of the Spirit, even though the Old Testament scriptures, yeah, have prophesied the coming of the Spirit. But Jesus Christ actually spelled out the time frame. So the formal rain here refers to Jesus, the teacher of righteousness. Right? Now, we come back to Joel. Now, we find that, yeah, the coming of the rain is within Zion. It's for the children of Zion. That's why it's like there is a scope, if I can put it this way. Who can be given the rain? Right? Obviously, you must be within the circle of Zion. You understand what I'm saying? Right? That's why, to me, I'm very confident to say that only TJC has the presence of the Spirit. I have no doubt about it. Okay? Based on the scriptures. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, and also, I will talk about this a little. One Spirit, one body. Right? Now, so if you are within this, then you shall receive. Okay, I want you to read Zechariah. Chapter 14. We read verse 17, yeah? And it shall be that whichever of the family of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem. Obviously, Jerusalem is used interchangeably with Zion, according to Micah. Yeah? So, anyone who does not come to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. Yeah? Can you see? Yeah, very specific. Okay? The Bible says, if you don't come to Jerusalem, yeah, which is Zion, then you no rain shall be given to you. Simple as that. Right? So, that's why I believe even truth seekers, yeah, the truth seeking friends of our church, yeah, they come into contact with us first, and then they receive the Spirit. Right? So we must have faith in the church. Only the TJC has the Holy Spirit, the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. Is that okay? How many of you don't agree with me? Be honest lah. Hey, yeah, yeah. If you don't agree, raise your hand. Don't worry, my glasses are not on, so I cannot see you. Okay. How many of you don't agree with me? Raise your hand. I can see you very clearly. Unanimous agreement. Okay. Is that okay? Now, to explain a bit more, I want to read Ephesians. Chapter 4. Okay. There's one body and one spirit, yeah? One body and one spirit. Now, think about this. When you are baptized by this one spirit, you are baptized into what? One body. Is that not true? Yeah? Now, we know that Christ has only one body, yeah? And He is this one spirit. So when we are baptized by this one spirit into this one body. You get what I'm saying? So, in this one body, we have the presence of this one spirit. Simple as that. Today, if you ask me, where is my spirit? Here. Where's your spirit? Here. You get what I'm saying? Simple as that. It's one. That's why the emphasis is one. One body, one spirit. It cannot be one spirit, two bodies. Is that clear? Yes.
So if the woman is expecting
the baby, wonderful example, but it's not relevant. I'm not a scientist, so I can't really talk about it. But to me, two separate persons anyway. But even the fetus is in the womb. They're two separate. Because life is there already anyway. Yes. Okay. Any more questions? No? So we finished. Yeah, I finished. Shall I summarize again? What? The same old thing? That's right, yeah? Sorry. Go on. Spirit.
The pouring of the former rain, the partial rain. But the Old Testament also mentions spirit. I'm not sure.
Well, the ancient thing.
Ancient thing, that's it. I thought you were referring to the Old Testament. And it's mentioned the spirit there. And it's prophesied that Jesus conveyed it. So that spirit doesn't teach you righteousness because it taught the commandments and stuff. Then Jesus came. Then the,
Now, I think when we talk about the promised Holy Spirit, it's like it's initiated by Christ. Because that's the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, in which we know that when the Spirit came, the Spirit shall live with those who believe. It's like on a, it's not on a selective basis anymore. Right? It's for all those who believe in God. Right? So when we talk about early rain and latter rain, it refers to that prophecy. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Yes?
Is it possible for someone to still have spirit, Holy Spirit after they, if they committed
I think that is a separate question altogether. I think we cannot generalize it for this. I think every case is different. Right? Yeah, obviously, if a full time worker commits adultery and finished, that's it. No return. You get what I'm saying? Or if a ordained worker or church board members. We have to look at every case, case by case. Okay. Any more questions? No? I finished. Joel.
Yeah.
Jehovah. Jehovah means I am who I am.
No, Joel.
The only self-existent one. Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's Joel 2:23.
Yeah, I'm very good at repeating, don't worry. Where's Joel? I cannot even find it. Oh, thank you. After Micah, where is it? No.
Sorry.
Before Amos. Okay. I found it. Now, you know, read verse 23. Class, read verse 23, yeah? Former rain is mentioned twice, right? Yeah?
So that's a teacher.
Yes. If you're using NKJV, it says, yeah, the footnote says, teacher of righteousness. Is it not? Okay, so teacher of righteousness, and then after that he says he will cause the rain to come down for you, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Okay, now here we know that Jesus is the one who would send the Spirit to us after his ascension, after he has come. Is that so? And then we talk about the coming of the Spirit according to the gospel. Yeah? And that actually fit into the pattern of the gospel very well. That's why, to me, I believe that the first formal rain here refers to the teacher of righteousness, who is Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, after the ascension of Christ, then it comes the Holy Spirit. Two period of time, according to Joel. And also, and in verse 23, it said it must be it only given to children of Zion. Okay, that it's like the boundary is drawn by God, it's not by us. Okay, now I think just to To add on a bit more, yeah? I want you to read Revelation. Revelation, so we read chapter 14. Now when you read verse 1, right? Then I looked and behold a lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him, obviously he is Jesus, yeah? 144,000 having his father's name written on their forehead. Now, we have already defined Mount Zion refers to a group of people who have been redeemed by God according to Psalm chapter 74. So in the context of the New Testament, it refers to the church who has been bought by the blood of Christ. Okay, who have been bought. So in the church, there are people, those who have been sanctified, and also Christ. Right now, today we cannot see the physical Jesus. Obviously, he appears in the Spirit. Okay, he is with us today. Okay, so right now, Joel again, chapter 2. Now the last part it says, yeah, and the latter rain in the first month, yeah. If I remember correctly, first month actually is the month of what? Can't remember what?
February.
The month of harvest, is it? Start with N. Eh? Okay, it's the month of harvest. Okay, so after the rain comes, then what happens? It's time for harvesting. No, the first period is November to January, yeah, and then the second is February, is correct? No, it's March to April. Yeah, that's the latter rain period, and this is the early rain.
I think so.
Yes.
The first form of rain is repeater. And the second form of rain is the same word. Teacher as well.
Yeah, the spirit is a teacher, it's no problem.
So both form of rain.
Yes, no problem.
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus is a spirit. No problem. Okay. So, any more questions on the Holy Spirit? No, yeah. If not, then I'm going to repeat myself. I need to read the question before I answer. Okay, no question. Right, now I think for the past few days, what we have studied is, I think we have established some key understanding here, right? To help us have a better grasp of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, I want you to turn to John again. Eh? John 7. I love that passage anyway. Because when I go to Africa, we talk about this. Chapter 7. Now verse 37 and 39, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Verse 38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Verse 39, but this he spoke concerning the Spirit whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given. Right? The word given is used. Because Jesus was not yet glorified. A time frame is set. Okay, so on the day of Pentecost, that's the time that the Spirit came in a promised manner, if I can use it that way, for the first time, right? It came, right? So, on that day, you find that when the Spirit came, right, miraculously, I think this again, this the work of God. It states that what? They were filled by the Holy Spirit. Right? Now, the key features of the belief of the true Jesus Church is because they spoke in tongues. Right? Spoke in tongues. And actually this is in accordance to the scriptures. Right? So, when the Spirit came, right? The promised Spirit came. Right? It's evidenced by speaking in tongues. I think that's a key point we need to grasp, right? And in Acts chapter 2, we say they were all filled by the Spirit. Yeah? Now, like what we have said before, there are three possible scenarios as far as being filled by the Spirit is concerned. The first, the receiving. The second is in the ministry work. And the third is about the way we live our life. Okay? It's about the way we live our life. So that's why, you know, we have been told that we need to what? We need to be filled by the Spirit even though we have received the Holy Spirit. Meaning, we must live a life worthy of Christ. Worthy of Christ. Okay? That's very important. Now, I think speaking in tongue is essential. Right? Speaking in tongue is essential because Paul says, if I talk about that, before the Spirit came down, yeah, the disciples were able to cast out demons. Power was with them, but they were asked to receive the Spirit again. Right? We know that before that, this power was from the Spirit. Don't talk about it. Okay? And yet Jesus said they must go to Jerusalem and wait. Yeah? Until they were empowered by the Spirit. Okay? So it's like a pattern. Jesus set a pattern. Okay? After his ascension, this is how the church should operate. Okay, that's why you and I follow this pattern. Is that clear? Okay? Right? Now, so that's why we must always come back to the original point, that is to receive the Spirit first. Why? Because they were asked to wait for the Spirit to come. Right? That's why the church has been saying, you know, for us to serve God, obviously, it seems that there are some inconsistency in practice, but never mind. Right? We hope that one day we'll reach perfection. The church will reach perfection. Right? So, if we want to serve, our main focus should be on praying for the Spirit first. Yeah? So that is the requirement then. Most importantly, you know, and the receiving of the Spirit has become one of the two requirements for salvation. Right? And when we said we have the Holy Spirit, when we pray, we have to speak in tongues. That's the evidence. Yeah, to confirm that we have fulfilled the second requirement. You understand what I'm saying? And this is not seen in the Old Testament time. In the New Testament. Right? And also, you find that Jesus said to them, you must ask of the Father for the Holy Spirit. That's why they tarried in Jerusalem and waited for the Spirit to come. Okay? That's some of the key facts that we have established here for the past few days. Okay. Speaking in tongues. Now, we are talking about this in a positive sense, yeah, for the time being. Obviously, you know, there are people who disobey God, okay? We leave that aside for the time being. But speaking in tongues, according to Paul, edifies. Yeah? And then what? Utter mystery when we speak in tongues, yeah? Number three is what? Intercede for us, isn't it? So you find that if we have a right attitude in praying, so in speaking in tongues, we can be edified, we can utter mystery, yeah, the Spirit will intercede for us. And actually this helped us, yeah, to live out the life, to live out a Spirit-filled life. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? If we are constantly edified in prayer, right, in tongues, and if we constantly think about the Word of God in prayers, right, to deepen our understanding of the Word of God or the basic belief, yeah, we shall be edified. And if we constantly confess our wrongs before God and are willing to accept, you know, the will of God to change ourselves for the better, surely, what? It's like we allow the Spirit to prepare us to live out a Spirit-filled life. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? But we need to start from the patterns that Christ has given to us. We must first receive the Holy Spirit. You get what I'm saying now? Is that clear? Is that okay? Well, that's it. Yes.
Concerning Africa, yes, you mentioned that there are a lot of Pentecostal churches. Where do they exactly preach, or what? And you mentioned some verses which are quite convenient to use, but you didn't specify which ones. Like, I don't know what do they preach, or what do they claim for themselves in Africa?
Pentecostal.
The other Pentecostal churches.
They said they have the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Yeah. But you see some churches, not only Africa, I think other part of the world as well, they actually teach their members to pray in tongues. You know, it's like something that can be learned, you know. But according to scripture, it's not. It's given by the Spirit. When the Spirit comes upon you, naturally you speak in tongues. Right? Now, I think class, the important thing is this, yeah? Now, for me, because we are talking about the Holy Spirit, that's why we have to emphasize a bit more on speaking in tongues. Yeah? Holy Spirit. So, we never emphasize speaking in tongues, yeah, at the expense of love or whatever, no. Okay? We never say that, you only pray in tongues and love is not important. Okay? In fact, if we know how to pray properly, if I can put it this way, right? So, every time we pray in the Spirit, actually, our love towards God and man will increase. Yeah, because the Bible says it's the Spirit that pours God's love into our hearts. Yeah? Now, so, again, I said we need to start from this pattern. Receive the Holy Spirit first. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, and obviously the Bible also says, because the church, yeah, everyone within the body of Christ in our context today, yeah, whether he or she has received the Holy Spirit or not, he or she has been given a gift. I don't deny that it's true. Right? At least one gift. Right? Now, my point is this. Before this gift, yeah, let's say it's a kind of a teaching gift or whatever. Right? Or to explain the scriptures or whatever. Right? Now, so, according to the principle is laid down by Christ, yeah? So for this gift to be utilized, yeah, effectively, the person must what? First have the Spirit. You get what I'm saying? Right? There's no contradiction. The Holy Spirit in the church today can give anyone any gift he desires, he chooses. Right? But on our part, we pray for the Spirit. Maybe you have been given a gift to explain the scriptures or to interpret whatever. Yeah? But we still have to follow the pattern. That's why the apostles were asked to wait in Jerusalem, even though they have been endowed with power already. Okay? That's the pattern. That is the new era. Okay? Is that clear? Sorry, I'm very good at repeating myself. So next time when you see my name, again, don't have to come. What? Oh, we still got 15 minutes. Any question? Do you want to listen to testimony? No, very keen. Okay, forget it. Do you want to listen to testimony?
Sure.
Yeah, come and talk.
I'm not much.
Oh, okay.
I saw you
going. I think some of you might have heard it before, but never mind. In the year, which year is that? In the year 2009. Yeah, I think it's 2009. I think some of you know preacher TJ. Do you know him? Only one. Two. You know TJ from US? Not TJ, yeah. So we went to Zambia together. We went to Zambia. So you know, there was a group of people from another church. Yeah? You know, they have been, to be honest, they have been searching for the truth. And they realized that in their own church, yeah, it seems that the truth was not there. So miraculously, before we arrived there, 2 months before we arrived, he called up one of our workers in Zambia, you know, and they started talking about the church and the stuff like that. And so our brother there, you know, told this group, said, "Oh, our missionary are coming, please come." You know. So when we arrived there, so we met them. I started talking to them. You know what happened? Later on they testified, he said, "This guy, you know what, true church, forget it." You know, the next day they wanted to go. And so our brother, the local Zambian brother, said, "Don't go away, don't go first. Let's pray before you go." So the next day, we knelt down to pray for 1 hour. You know, so preacher TJ stood up, lay hand on one of them. You know, that there was a an elder. Suddenly he raised his voice, wow, very loud, and then started speaking in tongues. And we could sense that, oh, it's the same spirit. Okay? You know, after the prayer, he actually was crying in the prayer, shaking tear, you know, and he prayed for 1 hour. First time to the True Jesus Church, and prayed for 1 hour, received the Holy Spirit. Okay, and then after that, he testified during the prayer when preacher TJ laid hand on him. He saw a beam of bright light shining upon him. It's like someone in the vision saying, "This is the right way. You should follow this the right way." That's why he cried. And then he received the Holy Spirit. You know, this person, he has back problem. He has back problem for many years. And after that prayer, he was cured completely. And so we had the two-week seminar with the workers there. So, you know, two of the leaders from that church baptized. And thank God now, there are about two churches. They went back and preached to their own people, and they came to believe. Again, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convinced them that this is the true church. Otherwise, it's not possible. Because, you know, the night before I spoke to them, I did my best, you know. And then okay, the next day, I was true. And they wanted to leave. But thank God. So through that prayer, he was convinced by God. I always believe in this. If God opens a way, there's always a way. If the way is not open, no matter how hard you try, you will never find a way. Simple as that. That's why, to me, serving God is not about just having the zeal. It's about faith in God, trusting in God. Please, God, open a way. Please guide. Okay. That's it. Finish. Michael, you want to share with them some testimony? Time's up, not yet, huh? Yeah, time's up. Oh, do you have any question you want to ask me about Africa? Some, only some, very few.
Is it by AMC or something?
Okay, let me tell you another story. Testimony. I think, again, yeah, God can sort out His church, yeah, by His own power. Right? We went to a place, I don't want to mention the name. So, there was some confusion there. You know, I think we are to be blamed as well, partly, right? Because we have not you know, brought enough to help them. Put it this way. They were in need of our help at the time. So, you know, obviously some of the members were not very happy about it. You know, I was with, you know, Preacher Timothy Young, yeah, many years ago. So we went there because we didn't bring anything. So obviously, again, I said we are partly to be blamed. Right? So some of the members were very upset. So they wanted to leave. They wanted to leave the church. So at the time, I was preaching, you know, and I could see that the members actually were walking away. Yeah. So I said, my heart, I'll finish. I'm gonna do. So we spoke to the worker there and asked them, please ask them to come back, we pray about it and see what we can do. So the next day, you know, they came back, right? You know, amongst them there was an old brother, yeah? And he was very angry with us, very angry. And he wanted to leave the church. Again, I said, we are partly to be blamed. So we said, oh, let's pray. So we all pray together. You know, the church is like that. The structure of the church, yeah? I'm not very good at drawing. The main door is here. Here there's a side door. And this pillar. Elevated, yeah? A few steps here. So the old brother was praying here, practically in the middle of the church, praying, right? Again, we pray for 1 hour. saw in a prayer, we didn't know what to do. We said, God, have mercy on us. So after the prayer, hey, we saw this brother, he was outside. He's walking by, trembling and in fear, shaking. Walking back. So we asked him, brother, what happened? So what happened? He said, during the prayer, someone grabs him and threw him up. Phew. Out of this door here. So he was practically threw him up. And then his shirt was soiled. Then we could see it, soil all over. So he came back and then someone grabbed him and threw him up. You know what happened after that? The whole church became peaceful. No one dared to leave. Hallelujah. That's mercy. He's okay, he's very good. Very good, seriously. That's why sometimes when you see there's problem in the church, don't go and solve it too quickly. Pray first. When you see confusion and problem in the church, yeah, the first thing you need to do is to pray. And God has His way to deal with this kind of confusion. Can you imagine? I'm very happy, not because he was thrown out. I'm very happy because he was okay. I don't want the police to come, you know. So I think in the church, in the true Jesus church, the church is controlled by God. I think this is something that we must be very sure about. And this church belongs to God. It does not belong to man. Right? So that's why I think I've said this before. We cannot do anything, you know, to harm the church or to break up the church. We cannot, because this is the body of Christ. I think God is very merciful towards us. Our duty is to follow what He says. You know, I always believe in this, yeah? If God has given us the truth, the Holy Spirit, then our duty is to abide by the truth that we have received, and we follow what the Spirit teaches us to do. Simple as that. That's it. Be simple. Yes, be simple. Then we will not go astray. You know the problem, I think many lecturers have said that the main problem is the problem of the heart, is the emergence of pride within a worker that causes the downfall. Right? So I think talking about overcoming Satan, I think the first thing we need to do is to overcome ourselves. We have to be on a heightened alert, yeah, to curb this pride within. To me, the outside world is not very scary if the heart is under control. You understand what I'm saying? If the heart is willing to submit to God, yeah, we find that the influence of the world, whatever people said, cannot influence you. Yeah, the problem is because our heart is not well, is not in the right place sometimes. Yeah, that's why we are drawn away very easily. Against the heart. And our service to God is the same. That's why I've been saying this. All of you are so talented. I think you are much, much more talented than the older generation. Yes, it's important to have talents, but what God wants to see is the will to submit to God, or the desire to submit to Him. You know, we can easily become puffed up if that desire is not under control. Very dangerous, especially if you are very gifted. You should all the more be careful, right? Like, you not only you cannot bring any good to the church, you bring problem and you become part of the problems in the church. Okay. One more. Old Testament, let me see. Yeah, I remember the first time, yeah. You know, Brother Jason and Daniel Lin. We went to Tanzania. You know the capital city, Dar es Salaam. We traveled. You know, Tanzania is massive. If this is Tanzania, I don't know how it's like for me. Dar es Salaam is here, I assume. And to draw a straight line to the point that we are going to Shinyanga, it's about 1,000 kilometers. Well, on that occasion, we are a bit out of our mind. We try to go by road. Right? So initially, we wanted to catch a coach to go there. We missed it. Ah, man. What are we going to do? Right? So, actually, four or five of us, can't remember. Two local workers from Kenya, plus Daniel and Jason. So, what are we going to do? Right? So, he said, never mind, because these people are waiting for us here. So, we have to go. So we jump on a taxi. More than £200. We have to pay more than £200 to get from here to there. Right? He said, never mind, we just go. So, halfway through our journey, you know, somewhere, I don't know how far from Jerusalem, you know, we came to a mountainous area, and the road is not very good. It's bumpy. So one truck, huge one, actually was overturned and blocked the entire road. So no coaches could pass, right? And thank God, because we came by a taxi, so somehow the taxi manages to sneak past the truck. And then thankfully we arrived there on time. That's why I said, oh, okay, that's the will of God, that's why we missed it. So God's guidance. Seriously. That's why to me, okay, serving God in the church or wherever requires God's guidance. That's the main thing. It's not about us. It's about Him. You know, we can do the best planning ever or whatever, okay? What time to set out, you know, blah, 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 you know, with a wonderful iPad or whatever, you know, check location, distance, whatever. What do you call it? GPS? The guy here, yes. Always carry one. If God's blocking, you cannot pass, you know. Right? So, don't rely too much on your iPad or what, your what do you call it? GPS or whatever. Rely on God more. Right? This thing, it's a miracle. So we arrived there on time. Thank God. And that time, actually, the first time we met them. So, actually, quite many came to accept the gospel. Okay? Time's up. If you want to listen more, then stay in London Church for the next 1 week. Let's pray.